My name is Frank, and I'm a compulsive reader. So can we pause for a moment of silence and then say the Serenity Prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So thanks for coming to the workshop on defining your higher power, choosing the qualities and attributes you want. And I didn't come to a workshop like this to define my higher power. Maybe it would have been better if I did, but I hope I can give you some food for thought in this workshop. So the plan for the workshop is that I'm going to talk for about 10 minutes. Then while I'm talking, the Ask It basket will be passed around, and the yellow sheets of paper on your table are there for you to write questions on for the Ask It basket, and the basket will come around and you can put them into the basket. Then after I finish my 10 minutes of talking, I'll answer Ask It basket questions for about 5 minutes. And then we'll have distributed questions that you can write on about your higher power, defining your higher power. And we'll give you about 20 minutes for you to write on your higher power. And these are all adjustable. If you guys finish writing early, we can end that earlier. If you need more time, we can take more time. This is your workshop. It's not mine. And then after that writing, you can get into small groups. Maybe the table itself that you're at, you can get into a group and share about your writing for about 10 minutes, and then we'll have about 15 minutes left over for sharing for the whole group. Anybody who wants to share can come up and talk at that mic over there. There's also a sheet that you have to put your name down if you're to be willing to talk here, because these are being recorded. So that's the schedule. So first of all, in my opinion, this program is about spirituality, not necessarily about God with a capital G. There are many different spiritual paths. Some of them, such as the Eastern religions, don't even have a God in the religion. They're non-theistic religions. So there are many different paths to a spiritual awakening. And, you know, it doesn't have to be an explicit God the way that you might have learned about it when you were young. For example, my reading of the big book on Appendix 2 and spiritual experience is that effectively a spiritual experience is changing the way that I think. It says, for example, that the spiritual experience was the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism or from compulsive overeating. And it says later that the person finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life. So it's an inside job, basically, is what the spiritual awakening is, the spiritual experience is. And so what I'll start with here is just, first of all, give you the statistics and then tell a little bit of my story as it relates to my higher power, my journey to my higher power, and then we'll go on to the rest of the program. So the statistics are that I came into OA 32 years ago. I had a top weight of 430 pounds before I came into the program. I came in at 380 pounds. Oh, that reminds me. I wanted to pass my before pictures around so you can see the evidence. So I came in at 380. I lost 180 pounds in my first year in the program, got down to my goal weight of 200 pounds. And I stayed there for a number of years, but then I had a number of years of relapse, recovery. And unfortunately, I gained more weight in the relapses than I lost in the recovery. And I got to a new top weight of 460 pounds in my relapse. And 5.5 years ago, I was at 403 pounds. And I think I just got sick and tired of being sick and tired and surrendered to the program finally. And I've had 5.5 years of abstinence now. And almost a 200-pound weight loss. So that's the statistics. In terms of my spiritual growth or quest or whatever, I was raised in a very traditional church. You know, we went to church every single week and, you know, had all the instruction in that church. I went to church-sponsored schools. And it was in high school that I got really interested in science and math, and in that process, I basically converted to atheism. I could prove that God didn't exist, at least to my satisfaction, by using Occam's razor, which is a principle in science that says that if you have two competing theories that both explain the facts, choose the simpler one. So the two competing theories are the universe existed forever, or God existed forever and God created the universe. The simpler one, the universe existed forever. So I chose that one and discarded God. So God had to arrange things perfectly for me to come to a program that talked about God. The first thing is I came into OA back before the internet, so I couldn't look it up on the internet and find out that it talked about God. And I had to get to that hard bottom of, you know, over 400 pounds. And then I also got involved in alcohol and drugs, basically to cover my unhappiness with my overweight. And the final part of my bottom was that I had a brief relationship with a woman, but she wanted to end it. And I thought that was not okay, that, you know, this was the only woman for me. There was no other hope for me. That was it. You know, that was going to be doomed or whatever. And so that was finally the bottom that got me to look for help. And I called a therapist who said he would take me on as a client, but I had to go to Overeaters Anonymous meetings simultaneously. Well, I didn't know anything about OA, but I called the phone number in the phone book, and it looked like it was going to be a lot cheaper than the therapist. So I went to OA, and I didn't go to see the therapist. But at the first meeting I went to, it was on a Wednesday at noon, and it was a very small meeting. So people there let me crosstalk and ask questions like, how can an atheist work this program? And they didn't tell me no crosstalk allowed. And they said I could use the group as a higher power. It didn't have to be any kind of conventional higher power. It could be whatever I needed. And somebody at that meeting loaned me the AA Big Book to read and said, read the chapter We Agnostics. So I took the book home. I read the chapter. Then I was convinced this program was not for me, because the only message I got from that chapter was, if you stick with us, we'll convert you. And I didn't want to get converted. But I had borrowed the Big Book, so I had to go back to that meeting the next week to return the Big Book. And I probably wouldn't have gone back if I didn't borrow it. If I'd bought it, I wouldn't have gone back. And I think I hit a bit of a more bottom in that week, so I was willing to listen when they said I didn't need to believe in a higher power. And in fact, I went to a third meeting the same day of my second meeting, and this was a much bigger meeting down in San Jose. And there I got the hope that I needed, because I saw a man who had lost over 100 pounds and kept it off for years. So I up to that point, I thought it was hopeless. You know, maybe I could lose some weight, but I'm not going to get it all off and all that. But I saw that it was possible. So then I went on a spiritual quest, and I read books. Well, let me back up for a second. First of all, I came into the program, and I worked the food program very well. I started losing weight rapidly. I put off working the steps because it had the word God in them. I didn't even get a step sponsor for about 6 months. I finally got a step sponsor who came out of the same mold that I came out of. He had been an atheist, over 100 pounds to lose, multiply addicted, and so the first thing he got me to do was to give up the debate. I mean, look at my little proof that God doesn't exist. What good is that going to do my life? It's not going to do my life any good at all. But if I could come to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity, would that do any good in my life? Yeah, that would do a lot of good. To become sane would be a good idea. So I tried giving up the debate, not even worrying about it. Then he got me to act as if. And to my surprise, it worked. If I said the serenity prayer, I got more serene. And that was almost always what I needed to do. It was almost always accepting the things I cannot change. And when I said the serenity prayer, I got some of that acceptance and that serenity. So I continued on with the acting as if, and I went on a little spiritual quest, and I started reading everything I could about spirituality, and I read Christian books. I concentrated on the non-dogmatic ones because the dogma was something I wanted to avoid. And I read books on Eastern religions and on, for example, even a book on Native American religions and on consciousness in general, just all those kind of topics to try to come up with some kind of a higher power that works for me. You know, because of my scientific interest and background, I don't even like to say that I believe in a higher power or that I have faith, because belief and faith are not methods that scientists use to come up with knowledge about the world. So if I could change the second step, I would change it to, we collected evidence that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And that's essentially what I've done all throughout my whole career here in OA, is collected evidence. I find that my life works better if I use the spiritual part of this program. I mean, that's where the recovery comes from. You know, my best proof that I have a higher power is my 5.5 years of abstinence and my weight loss here. Because that's something I couldn't do by myself. So that's my best proof. But what I did was I did come up with a concept of a higher power that I could live with, and it's not at all the conventional higher power. It's not the an omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God. It's not a God that created the universe. It's more of a personal higher power within me. And, you know, the kinds of words you can use to describe it are the higher self, the, what are the words here? The higher self, the Christ within, the God within. Intuition is a big word for me. The right brain. Basically, it's the part of me that knows the correct amount of food to eat and has the power to eat that correct amount of food. Whereas the addict is the person that's standing up here talking to you right now. That's the Frank that's powerless over food, whose life is unmanageable, and who is addicted to food. So, you know, that's the part of me that that needs the recovery that this program offers. One thing I do use the word God to refer to my higher power, and I use it just purely as a shorthand. In my mind, I'm translating it all the time into my higher self or something like that internally, or when you talk, I translate it internally. And they're kind of interchangeable terms for me right now, so I don't have any problem with using the word God, because I know that I don't mean that kind of a God. I mean this kind of a God. That's internal. So that's just my path. You know, each of you are going to have your own path, and the one advantage that I have with the higher power that I've come up with is that prayer and meditation make a lot of sense to me because of that. Because prayer is me, the addict, talking to the higher self within me, asking for help. And meditation is me, the addict, trying to shut up and listen. So, you know, that makes a lot of sense to me. The other thing is that the OA literature talks a lot about intuition as being the conduit for God to talk to us. So I just made it into the God that's talking to me. It's my intuition. It's my higher self. It's within me. So that's what's worked for me. And that's you know, it's up to you to decide what's going to work for you. So I've basically finished my talk now. So if there are some Ask It Basket questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Well, I can take what you've got there and then you can collect some more. Okay. How do you come to believe? I have acted as if so many times, but have never had the leap of faith to believe in a higher power. Well, I think I've kind of answered that because, you know, I don't use the word faith either. I don't use the word belief. I mean, I use the word belief and faith, but I don't really mean it. I really do collect evidence is what I do. And, you know, the evidence is that my life works better when I work on a spiritual path, when I follow all the things that the spiritual paths tell you to follow, to do the prayer and meditation, surrender, all of those kinds of things, my life works better. And so it's the evidence of seeing my life working better and the evidence of my abstinence. And, you know, I don't blame that long relapse on my higher power not working for me. That was all about me. It was all about me not being willing, not surrendering, not admitting that I was powerless. Every time I took a bite of food during that relapse, in my head, I'm sure I was thinking something along the lines of, I'll stop tomorrow. You know, that's belief that I have power over food. That's the belief that I can eat today and stop tomorrow. That's not saying that I'm powerless over food. And, you know, that's the lie that I told myself for years and years and years. I'll stop tomorrow. I was working a one-time program. I just had the wrong day. Okay. Here's the next question. What if you don't feel a presence or a connection? Well, you know, feelings aren't facts to me. You know, feelings come and go. Feelings are just, chemical reactions in the brain. And to me, that's not part of why I believe or why I don't believe. Like I said before, I just collect evidence and that's all I do. I'd like to hear from some of you about feelings at some point. Do we have any more questions? Yeah, hold your hand up if you've got a question. What does turning it over look like for you? I am such an action-based person, and I struggle with turning it over because I don't see it as a physical action. Oh, that's a good question. You know, the biggest part for me of turning it over is letting go of the obsessive thoughts. You know, if I'm holding on to something, I'm thinking about it. So it's not a physical action, but it's a mental action, is to just let it go and accept that I'm not going to solve it. I don't know the answer, or I just have to let it go. I don't feel like I've got a good answer to that question, so maybe somebody else will have a better answer. And let me get another Ask a Basket question. Thank you. All right, we're actually running short on the time here on Ask a Basket. How do you call on your higher power to relieve you from the compulsion to overeat? Well, you know, it's basically the way that the steps are written. The first part is to give up, is to admit that I'm powerless. If I'm not admitting I'm powerless, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up the food. So I have to first take the first step, and then it's the second and third step, coming to believe and acting and turning my will and my life over to a higher power. So it's just basically the steps. Please talk about your prayer and meditation. Well, I love doing short little prayers because I can do them when I'm driving or anytime I want. And one of my favorites is more God, less Frank. You know, more of my intuition, more of my higher self, less of Frank, the Frank selfishness and self-centeredness. And I have a number, just thank you is another one, you know, thanking a higher power. In terms of meditation, I have always tried to do meditation throughout all of my years in OA, but I never really got successful daily practice going. You know, I went to meditation retreats and things like that, but about a year ago, I went to a meditation class and I did all the homework. And the homework was to meditate every day. So for that 8 weeks of that class, I was meditating every single day. And then I've pretty much kept it up since then, not perfectly, but I've really meditated every day, and I can see a big difference in my program from that. I'll go over a little bit here. How would you define your own spiritual awakening? What does spiritual mean to you? Well, a big part of it is, you know, the voice that's in my head that's always talking and it's always criticizing people, criticizing me, criticizing other people, not liking this, liking that, that voice in my head is not spiritual. So whatever is in my head that's not talking, that's the spiritual part of me. So the talking part, not spiritual. I'm a visual person. I'm struggling with HP because I can't see it. Well, you know, I am actually not a visual person. When I sit here and try to visualize something with my eyes closed, I get a blank wall. So I don't think I can help you on that one. Frank, can you give some examples of evidence from your life? Well, here's one evidence. That's evidence that, you know, I haven't eaten compulsively. Well, you can't tell if I've ever had any binges, but I haven't eaten compulsively a lot in the last 5.5 years. So that's evidence of a higher power in my life, and that's it. So, are there any other Ask a Basket questions? He is passing out the questions now. So, on the questions, I ask that you first of all read all of the questions all the way through, and then once you've read them all, then you can go back and choose which questions you might find it helpful and write answers for those questions. Or if none of these questions are helpful for you, go ahead and make up your own question and write on it. And we'll give you 20 minutes to do that writing. Okay, so the questions are coming around. Maybe, yeah, someone's helping, and that's great. By the way, we've got lots of these questions, so if you want to take some extra for friends or for your meetings back home, go ahead and take them. I guess they'll be up here. That's been 20 minutes, but this is your workshop, not mine. How many people would like to write longer and share less? Oh, nobody? Everybody's done? Okay. All right. Well, I was noticing that the tables have, some have 6, some have 4, some have 2, and anything in between. If we could maybe move to tables of about 4 each, then everybody will have about the same amount of time to share for the small group sharing. So if you've got 4 at your table, it's perfect already. And I'm not controlling, by the way. But and you don't have to do it if you don't want to, but you want to even it out, that'd be great. Well, I'm running a few minutes behind, so maybe 10 minutes for four people of four to share. That'd be about 2.5 minutes a person. And then we'll have about 10 minutes for open group sharing after that. And there were three other Ask It Basket questions that I thought were great. Okay, by my watch, we've only got 1 minute left in the workshop. If you could wrap up what you're talking about. After the workshop's over, you can stay at your table and keep talking. Right through lunch if you want. Okay, can we wrap it up? Thank you. There were three last questions I think I can answer pretty quickly, if you're interested. One was, how can a higher self be a power greater than yourself? And that's an excellent question. And for me, that question highlights the difference. I mean, to me, the addict of me is that voice that I was talking about in my head. That's the one that's obsessing and is always thinking about things and judging things and all that. That's really only a small part of my total self. And so that's the part that's powerless. And the higher self is the, you know, the 90% of the brain that's not that voice talking in my head, the intuition. And that's the part that has the power greater than myself. So that's how I identified. I basically identify myself with just that voice part of me and let the intuition take over the rest. The other question was, how do you say you collect evidence? How do you do this? How do you distinguish what is your HP working and what just is? Well, you see, my HP doesn't change things out in the world. It changes things in my head. So if my head changes, I know it's my HP doing it because I didn't do it. You know, that voice is always going to be criticizing, always going to be criticizing other people, criticizing myself, wanting more. If a little bit is good, it thinks a whole lot is better. That's what that voice in my head thinks. And if I don't act on that thought, then that's my higher power working in my life, and that's part of the evidence I collect. And you say, here's one that says, I want to plug into God or have a connection with God, but I don't know how. Step 11. That's how I have a connection with God, prayer and meditation. And that's, you know, that's what I try to do. I try to do the short prayers throughout the day. I try to meditate every single day. I try to do at least 15 minutes. My goal is 30 minutes or longer, but I do at least 15 minutes of meditation a day. And that's how I plug into my higher power. So that's all the time we have for the workshop. Someone has my pictures, I hope. Could they bring the pictures up? And the other thing I would love would be if you give me feedback on which of the 9 questions were most helpful for you. I'd be curious which ones were helpful, and I'll just make a mark. You can just tell me numbers, and I'll mark it down. So maybe we can finish with the Serenity Prayer again after a moment of silence. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And if you want to keep talking at your table, go right ahead.